This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of Poetry Unbound by Padre Gotuma, a poetry anthology that offers immersive reflections, keen insights, and personal anecdotes on 50 powerful poems. Focusing on poets mainly writing today, Poetry Unbound engages with a diverse array of voices that includes Ada Limon, Ilya Kaminsky, Margaret Atwood, Ocean Vuong, Layli Long Soldier, and Reginald Dwayne Betts. Poetry Unbound is now in paperback.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We've been talking this hour about the humanitarian crisis in Xinjiang, and that's the subject of our entire program today. While China was sweeping Muslims and ethnic minorities into internment camps in the largest civilian detainment since the Second World War, most of us outside of Xinjiang, almost all of us in fact, were barely aware of it. In the United States during the convulsive and chaotic Trump years, international news rarely got the attention it deserved. On the very last day of that administration, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo issued a determination that genocide was taking place in Xinjiang. Now the Winter Olympics are coming up in Beijing, and the eyes of the world are on Xinjiang, and international pressure is beginning to mount. The question is, what is the world going to do about it?
I used to joke that I felt like the skunk at the garden party when you went into an interagency meeting and you were the one who had to bring up the human rights issues.
Susan O'Sullivan was a program director at the State Department until she recently retired. She helped craft the first sanctions in the world that were imposed on China because of this issue. O'Sullivan talked with the staff writer Rafi Khachdourian, who's been reporting on the Xinjiang crisis.
I'm curious to know when you, in the State Department, began to receive news of this escalation and what it was like. What were you hearing?
Well, I had a number of contacts in the Uyghur American community, some of whom I first started talking to in the 1990s. And as they began to hear things from family members and their worries increased, they were coming in and talking to me. And I remember the first time a contact told me that people had been at his family home taking DNA from his parents. I think people were horrified, and, you know, everybody's first reaction is, can this really be true? It was my initial reaction. A lot of these reports that I was getting from contacts in the United States were later confirmed by our own research and intelligence work. So there was a lag between when I first heard these reports and when we were be able to take action based on the reports.
Yeah, let's come to the present for a moment, because one of the few continuities between the Trump administration and the Biden administration is policy on this issue, it seems. Both Secretary Pompeo and Secretary Blinken have used the term genocide. Both administrations have issued sanctions, the Biden administration most recently last month, in coordination with Europe and Canada. China's reaction to last month's sanctions was much different. Why do you think it differed from its reaction to the first round of sanctions last year?
Well, I think the sanctions that were imposed in March of this year were done in coordination, as you mentioned, with the EU, the UK, Canada. I mean, this is not what China wants to see. I mean, I think it's one thing to push back on us when it's just the United States. They can characterize as we're doing it for political reasons. But when other countries are on board doing the same thing, I mean, that's much harder for them to deal with. But I think it's essential now that we move beyond the obvious partners to some Asian countries, some Muslim-majority countries. I mean, we really have to broaden the group of countries that are willing to speak out about the atrocities that are taking place. And we haven't talked about the Olympics. I think that's another thing. All these things put China on the defensive. I think they still very much care about their international reputation. And, you know, that provides us with leverage.
We've been talking about the governmental response to what's happening in Xinjiang province, but there's the private sector as well. And a number of companies have taken a position on that. You know, I think H&M, for instance, made an announcement that it wasn't going to use distributors from Xinjiang. And there was quite a public reaction to that in China. What is the corporate responsibility side of this?
Well, I mean, companies are going to have to make some hard decisions about how to go forward. I think in June of 2020, you know, the State Department, along with Treasury, Commerce, and Homeland Security, put out the Xinjiang Supply Chain Business Advisory, which was kind of the first step in trying to inform them exactly what was going on in Xinjiang, making the point that doing due diligence of supply chains would not necessarily be able to determine with confidence that no human rights abuses were taking place. I think corporations have a lot of leverage if they choose to use it.
What do you think is going to happen with the Olympics?
You know, I assume that the Olympics will go forward. I certainly would like to see, you know, let our athletes go, but not have high-level people attending the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that other countries should take similar steps. I mean, genocide is taking place, in my view. To do anything that would signal that we in some way are willing to ignore that would be a grave mistake.
Susan O'Sullivan. She recently retired from the State Department as the Director of East Asian and Pacific Affairs in the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.